Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Matt Baxendell in just a moment. Transfer portal gone wild. Josh Pate, my friend and colleague, does a great job. Rising star. He's not a rising star. He's just a star. Had a very interesting tweet yesterday about the transfer portal. We're going to get into all that. We're going to break it all down for you, how it affects Ohio State, just in general, the portal. With, you know, Caden Proctor going to Iowa, accepting NIL money, now leaving Iowa. How do we feel about, you know, not just Proctor himself, but in general, how do we feel about that? If a player goes to a school, accepts money, and then leaves, all good? Does he need to pay the money back? We got to get into all that. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys about Manscaped and a great deal you can get and just make you guys laugh a little bit. It's great stuff. All right, this episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions of Manscaped. And make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code BUCKNUTS for 20% off and free shipping. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. I'm usually not a big fan of electric face shavers, but they do a great job at Manscaped. I highly recommend it. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. Yes. All right. It's the pants party and Bax is invited. Here we go. All right, Bax. Transfer portal gone wild. All right. Let me just get your general thoughts. Okay. Before we get into how this might affect Ohio State, if at all, Caden Proctor, just in general, let's say it's any player at all. Caden Proctor going to Iowa. I don't know exactly how much he got in NIL, but I'm sure he got NIL money. There's also, you know, some talk he had a car dealership deal. Then he leaves. How do we feel about that? It's kind of like Quinn Ewers came here, accepted some money, but at least I guess he stayed for a season. Like, how do we feel about the Caden Proctor situation?
Yeah, I mean, if you're leaving to bounce from spring football from one school to another, that seems like we're getting a little too ping-pongy to me. I think, you know, we talked about kids having the ability to transfer without sitting out a year, and I agree with that in principle. I think everybody should get a mulligan transfer. But, I mean, you should probably only be able to transfer once a year, don't you think? If he leaves Alabama to go to Iowa, whether he goes back to Alabama or he goes somewhere else, it seems like you're getting to the point where this is, like, more mercenary than, like, professional sports at this point. Because professional sports, you at least have a contract. You at least have to play 1 year or, you know, you're on a team before you get traded at a trade deadline or something. If you're just allowed to bounce around two or three times in an offseason, it seems like there's a real problem to me with the system.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Now, and, you know, Josh Pate is also hearing that he does think this will lead to – it's going to be so chaotic. He thinks this transfer portal window – he doesn't think people are prepared for how crazy this is going to be. He came on our board to talk about it yesterday, which is pretty cool. He does think this is going to lead to them finally putting some guidelines in. What those entail, I don't think anybody knows. But, like, it's going to be so wild, and so many people are going to be pissed off. And some people are going to be thrilled. Depends on where you're at, your perspective. But you know, Josh Pate's really tied in. He's hearing, I'm not going to tell you who he's hearing it from. He's hearing it from really good sources. And it sounds like this is going to be the precipice for some change that we need.
Well, I still think we're in the Wild West phase of this whole process, Dave. We haven't gotten to the point where there's really any guidelines other than do whatever you want. And at this point, I think that's too much, right? We have to sort of let the system play out this way, though. I think there was a lot of talk about fear of, you know, the Supreme Court ruling and actual legalities about freedom of movement or whatever. But the truth of the matter is there has to be some sort of control on NIL. Maybe you don't cap it. You can't set a rule where these guys can only make X amount, because that's literally un-American. But on the flip side of the equation, you have to be able to find a balance between just total chaos and having some structure. You know, we talk about free markets in this country, but the structure to those free markets. We need to structure this free market here a little bit. And if it means kids are transferring from one school to another for spring football, and then to another one after spring football, and then to another one once summer rolls around, I mean, you're getting a little too chaotic here. And I actually think you're almost helping the kids from themselves if you don't, if you kind of lock them into a spot for a year. To me, I think the transfer portal should be a once-a-year thing. It shouldn't be a four-times-a-year thing or a three-times-a-year thing. It should be after spring football, heading into the summer, these are the portal guys that open up. And we should have one portal window in the year. And that way you're not rushing kids out the door during bowl preparation or having kids try to land on the next musical chair before the, you know, all the chairs fill up when it comes to people who are trying to leave their schools before bowl games. It's kind of like you and I talked about for years about the signing day. Why we don't have one in the summer and then have the one in February? That's all we needed. They don't need to complicate this. And I think it's the same thing right now when it comes to the whole process with the transfer portal. And I'm all for a wild year of chaos. I don't think it really is going to impact Ohio State that badly, because this is a premium destination. But I'd love a year of just sheer mayhem. I'd like a year where one of these schools only has 70 kids on scholarship because so many kids bolt. And just so that we can be like, look, this is a problem. And we need a real solution, because right now I think they're still a little afraid to have an actual solution to all the chaos that we're going to see.
All right. Elephant in the room. Braden just cuts right to it on X. What are the percentage chances of Caleb Downs leaving? I don't know. I'm not going to put a percentage on it. I think it'd be very low. I don't think Caleb Downs is going to leave. But when I hear Josh Pate saying things like, quote, Caden Proctor returning to Bama isn't even in the top three of wildest portal rumblings I've heard this week. I'd be lying to you if I told you, oh crap, I hope that doesn't mean anything about Caleb Downs. I don't think Caleb Downs is going anywhere. This is Ohio State. So I think everything's going to be fine on that front. Bax, what do you think?
I think the idea of Caleb Downs going back to Alabama is sort of an Alabama fever dream at this point. Like, let's be real. I think the kid has his head on straight. I think he knows Ohio State's a much better position for him. Certainly this year, probably beyond. When we talk about wild portal stuff, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's always related to Alabama. Just because we're talking about Caden Proctor, to me, like, that doesn't mean it has anything to do with Caleb Downs. And I think Caleb Downs isn't planning on going anywhere. What situation would be better for him? You know, he's getting lots of NIL money at Ohio State. He's in probably the best secondary in the country. He has an opportunity to win a national championship. And he's also struck me as a kid who has his head on straight. So, you know, I don't expect that he's going to be a kid that bounces back and forth. Whereas, you know, the Proctor situation, it was a homesick kid who left Alabama to go to Iowa. And I don't know how well through he thought it before he left. And now we're kind of just waiting to see what happens with him. I'm not even convinced he's leaving Iowa, to be honest. Like, who knows what's going to happen there. But you talk about crazy portal things. Well, what happens if the word comes out that Michigan's going to get bombed by the NCAA? How many kids go, bleep this, we're out? I mean, it's not like in the past where if you had schools that had sanctions, the kids had to sit out a year. So it made a big difference that kids would stick around and, you know, compete for the school. Nowadays, the mercenary system that's set up, if it comes out that Michigan is going to get, you know, the investigations are officially accusing them of all kinds of stuff, and it looks like, you know, they're going to be really hit big, half that roster is going to leave. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to transfer portal stuff, is just how quickly things can empty out. And if we see one of these schools that has an FCS level of scholarships when the musical chairs stop because people don't want to go there because of whatever reason. That's when that's going to drive the sort of regulations we need to have. Because at the end of the day, the people who make the decisions on this, they make the decisions based on money and television. And at the end of the day, if Michigan has 65 scholarship guys instead of 85 scholarship guys, that impacts their ability to be a big television draw. So something is going to happen crazy like that somewhere. And I don't know if it's Michigan. I'm just using that as an obvious example. But somewhere there's going to be a real issue in terms of filling out a roster. And it's going to end up being a musical chair situation that stops. And one set of chairs is still open. That's what I'm interesting to see.
Mika has a question that I think is on the mind of a lot of Buckeye fans. When did the sanctions start for that team up north? Are they still going to get hammered? I was convinced at one point they're going to get hammered. I still think heavy sanctions are coming, but you know, it is the NCAA. This is the same group that somehow nothing happened to all these basketball coaches when it was like, we've got your playbook. And I know that was the Southern District of New York, the prosecutor saying that, not the NCAA, but still nothing happened to any of those guys. So it's only one of those things where I still think they're going to get hammered, but I still need to see it before I truly believe it. Where are you at on that? Do you think they will get hammered? And when do you think it'll come down?
I think the NCAA moves at a snail's pace, and they have the added issue of the FBI being involved. So, you know, the whole FBI computer crimes thing also kind of takes precedence over a silly sports sanction system. So when the FBI is involved and the federal government's involved and they bring forth charges, 99% of the time the person is dead to rights guilty. They don't typically bring charges against people that they can't convict. This is a big discussion back when Michael Vick got in trouble with the federal government, and everyone was like, well, you think he'll beat the rap? And people who know how these things work were like, no, he's absolutely not going to beat the rap. Like, that's absolutely not going to happen. And so I think the NCAA has a significant investigation going on involving the University of Michigan. And the reason I say this is that, you know, they want to talk about their little whole hamburger gate thing up there, little mini recruiting violations or whatever. At the end of the day, this isn't a recruiting violation. This isn't some old, silly, old school NCAA problem. Right. This is a complete attack on the sanctity and fairness of the game. And if they don't make an example of this, all their partners in Las Vegas who are spending all that money on FanDuel and DraftKings and every other online gaming outlet out there are going to have a lot of more trouble being able to get people to wager on games if they think that they are not fair. The integrity of the sport is the situation with Michigan. And it's not like, oh, well, Cam Newton went to Auburn because his dad got money. That's a nebulous way to change an outcome of a game. At the end of the day, Cam Newton was on the roster, right? This isn't arguing about, quote, cheating, put a dollar sign in OSU for recruiting. This is flat out knowing what the opponent is doing during football games. This is straight up playing Battleship while seeing where your opponent's battleships are. It's an attack on the integrity of the sport. So it's very difficult for me to believe that the NCAA would ever back off of going after the University of Michigan. And seeing the mass exodus of their coaches up there, where Sharon Moore is literally, I think, the only guy left from last year. Maybe there's one or two others, but he's the only one that anybody could name left from that coaching staff. They all got the hell out of Dodge because they knew that the hell train was coming. And I think at this point, we just have to be patient because it's going to have to happen. There's no way around it at this point, period.
Your fan club is out. I love it. I know. Preach backs, go backs. I love it. We got a lot of backs fans in there as usual. Yeah, you nailed it right there. You nailed it. I mean, I don't know. So let's move on. I promised Jermaine we would move on to this. I was going to get to this anyway, Jermaine. But Jermaine wants us to talk about who's going to be the next running backs coach. And specifically, we're hearing anything about DeMarco Murray. Well, let me tell you, my friend, as I said on the show multiple times, I was told right away a name that I couldn't reveal. This is last Wednesday evening. So Bax and I did the show Wednesday. Then what, like 2 hours later, the Tony Alford
news? Yes, less than 2 hours later. We haven't even talked about Trader Tony yet.
Yeah, and then so, I talked to a very good source and had, an update on Bucknuts and had some names that I was told I could put out there. And then I was told one name that my source, very high up in the WAC, said will be a strong candidate, but I don't want you to put the name out there because it wouldn't be fair to him. I'm like, okay, who is that? He said DeMarco Murray. I said, okay. And as I said on the show before I could give away the name, I said, I'm starting to think the guy that I can't say the name might be the leader here, because I was told I can mention everybody else. You don't take care. You know what I mean? I just got that vibe. Now, is it a done deal? No. Coach Day's going to has a his phone was blowing up with people trying to get the job. Okay, he's going to conduct interviews this week. But I'll tell you this. If I had to bet, I would say DeMarco Murray's going to get the job. I'm not saying 100% it's going to happen, but I like it. Oh, would he leave Oklahoma, his alma mater? Well, where does he interview at Michigan for their running back's job? Maybe he's not seeing eye to eye with Brent Venables. I don't know, but DeMarco Murray sounds like, to me, is the likely choice here.
I think it's a very interesting situation, too, with the Oklahoma and alumni side of it for him, because Oklahoma isn't the same Oklahoma that it was under Stoops or Lincoln Riley anymore. Now they're going into the SEC. Now they have like a whole different, coaching staff. He's a guy that I think a lot of people would be very interested in having at a place like Ohio State. And if you're a running back coach who wants to make his mark and then move up the totem pole, wouldn't this be an ideal situation to parachute into with these two running backs, both of whom are going to be NFL draft picks to start your resume? And if you can recruit whatsoever, then you're going to be in a really good position to succeed coming out and going, yeah, I had Trey Henderson and Judkins, and now I'm going to bring in player A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If he can recruit at the level that is necessary, this job has a lot of allure for him. And I say that because Ohio State and Oklahoma are not the same level of program. And I know people will chafe at that on the Oklahoma side of things. You know, Oklahoma is a traditional blue blood. It's got all that going for it. But it doesn't have all the hyper elite stuff going for it that an Ohio State does, plain and simple. This is maybe the premier destination in the country to be an offensive coach right now. And that would be a really hard job to turn down in my eyes for DeMarco Murray. I also do not think we're going to fill this position until spring football is over around the country. I think Ryan Day and company were very disappointed that Tony Alford made his decision when he did in the middle of spring. And so from that perspective, I don't think Ohio State's going to expect somebody else to make that decision to leave their current program in the middle of spring football either. There's the right way and the wrong way to leave. Look, people leave programs. People make choices to go different places. All right. That's fine. But you can choose how you leave. If you're open with an employer, if you give them warning, if you find a way to hand your job roles off, whether that's me as an engineer choosing to go to a different company, whether that's a coaching staff choosing to go somewhere else, whether it's a player leaving a program to go to a different program, if you are honest and do things the right way, then there are no hard feelings. DeMarco Murray, I'm sure in his coaching track, would love to go back to Oklahoma someday and be the head football coach. So if he's leaving as an assistant coach to go spread his wings elsewhere, then he's going to have to leave in the right fashion. And that means getting through spring football, making sure Venables is aware of the decision that he's making, and then from there, coming to Ohio State at the appropriate time. If you do things the right way, you don't burn that bridge. And I think that's something that Ohio State cannot expect of any other hire, because they're mad about how the bridge was burned by Tony Alford with Ohio State. And he torched it on the way out the door.
He napalmed it. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, man. So I'm going to get your thoughts in a second on Tony Alford, since we haven't talked about that. Just how you feel about him leaving, because there was some other stuff at play. You know, he didn't get the contract extension. There's some talk about a slight pay cut, and you know, but there's also talk that, you know, Coach Day and Pantone and everybody else had to really push him to recruit. And we're talking about recruiting one or two guys a year. You're not trying to recruit like on offensive line. You know, you're getting like four guys a year, maybe five. It's just one or two dudes, and you got to be pushed to do that. Disappointing. Coach Day, I was impressed yesterday, not surprised, just dripping with confidence, yet still being classy. He just seems to be, there's just no doubt that he feels like they're going to have an upgrade. He didn't say that. That's just my take on the matter. And what I'm hearing from sources, they think they're going to find an upgrade. They have no doubt about it. And he's having fun coaching the running backs right now. I found that interesting. I did a story yesterday, and the lead was Ohio State head coach / running backs coach Ryan Day, .. And I clarified what I meant, but he said something interesting too, Bax. He said, this is going to be good for the running backs to have the perspective of the quarterback to kind of see the whole, you know, whole picture of the offense. So he's having fun coaching RBs. And I agree with you. I mean, he said it himself. They're not in a hurry to do this. I won't be surprised if it's not until after spring ball. And again, I think it's going to be DeMarco Murray, my friends. All right. Tony Alford leaving. Are you in this Benedict Alford camp? Or are you like, I kind of get it, even though you can't go to Michigan? That's where I'm at. I'm like, I kind of would understand it if it was anywhere else. I don't like the timing. But it's the going to Michigan. That's a total. People have asked me, do you think it's kind of personal? Like, no, it's not kind of personal. It's 100% personal.
Personal.
Go ahead.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's an employee who didn't like his boss. I think it's an employee who felt like he wasn't getting the appropriate level of kudos for what he believed he was doing. That's a normal workplace situation in a lot of places. Let's be real honest. Any job, people leave because they don't like their boss more than anything else. People don't quit jobs, they quit bosses. Well, Alford felt unappreciated here. And meanwhile, when we were talking about like, hey, we need to do this big staff shakeup, his name was one of the ones out of my mouth that I was like, yeah, if we need to fire another guy just for the sake of changing it, then Alford was on the list. And I think Alford knew that his time here was not going to be that much longer anyways. And he needed a good landing spot and he wanted to have a raise and he wanted to felt, quote, loved at the end of the day. And I wouldn't have begrudged him any of this if he hadn't gone to Michigan. But going to Michigan, make no mistake about it, is a double middle finger to Ryan Day in the middle of spring football. It is Alford essentially, you know, giving him the finger on the way out the door. And I have no doubt that he sat down with Sherrone Moore within 2 minutes there and started explaining everything Ohio State was doing. And I'll tell you what, it's not the playbook stuff as much that I'm worried about because it's still pretty early in the process. It's more of him going, these are the recruits that we're very high on all kinds of different positions, because he had access to that recruiting board without a question. And Michigan's going to probably go after more guys that Ohio State were on. And it's not the, hey, here's the five-star guys. It's the, here's some three-stars that we think are wildly underrated. We're going to keep a close eye on. So there's an impact there for sure. I think that Trader Tony is only Trader Tony versus former Ohio State coach Tony Alford because he went to Michigan. If he had gone even to Michigan State, we would have all shrugged about it. But going to our arch rival at this point in time, whenever they're coming off of the biggest scumbaggy cheating scandal I've ever seen, whenever they sucked so bad in the rivalry that they had to go out and cheat their way to a couple wins, and at the end of the day, it's a horrible career decision to go to Michigan right now too. Because if the NCAA does show up, and I'm sure the boom hammer is going to fall on Sherrone Moore, don't tell me he didn't know what was going on, then Alford's going to be looking for yet another new job. So to me, this is one of those situations where I'm sure somewhere would have taken him with his resume at Ohio State. But the other side of it, Dave, is, again, I think they're going to upgrade. Because what has Alford done? Like, how good is he recruited? Not well at all. He's what, one NFL draft pick in his whole tenure here? And I think since Urban left, Alford's just been kind of a carryover guy that Ryan Day's kind of been like, sure, I have, that's fine. He's not killing me. But he's also not like a, you know, we talk about Hartline was the wide receiver position supernova, and we're hoping Laurinaitis is going to be the linebacker position supernova. They're hoping to find a running back position supernova. Alford is kind of the Jim Bowman of the running back positions. Because Jim Bowman didn't like to recruit either. And by the way, Jim Bowman had lots of excuses why we didn't land guys like Bijan Robinson. That's at Alford's feet. So at the end of the day, you don't want to recruit, don't come to Ohio State.
That's a low blow, man, comparing him to Jim Bowman as a recruit. I think Tony's a better – man, that's a – you're going low blow, man. It's below the belt.
How many misses, Dave, have we had on major running backs? How many running backs have been flipped on this guy in the last couple of years?
I'm not arguing.
Bowman's big issue was he could not recruit and didn't want to. And if they're telling Alford to get off his butt and go recruit, I have real questions about why they even kept him around for spring football. So I'm glad to see him go.
Yeah, I think they're giving him one more year to turn it around. Like, you know, Ryan Day had to take the bull by the horns with the Quinshon Judkins transfer. Recruitment, that was Ryan Day, not Tony Alford. I mean, yeah, man, I think, again, be patient, Buckeye fans. As Bax just said, if I've said, as Coach Day kind of alluded to without saying it specifically, Ohio State will upgrade here. They will upgrade from Tony Alford, whether that's DeMarco Murray or somebody else. All right, I want to tell you guys about our other great sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Fantastic deal you guys can get. It's great food delivered right to you, 50% off. I love that we have Omaha Steaks returning as a sponsor of the show, and I love they have a great deal for you guys. When you go to omahasteaks.com/bucknuts, like I said, you will receive 50% off site-wide. Yes, 50% off. Which of their products do I recommend? All of them. All right, I'll be a bit more specific. I love their ribeye steaks, their sirloin steaks, their filet mignon wrapped in bacon. I like their pork chops, their burgers. They also have a ton of great side dishes and desserts. Omaha Steaks is the world's best beef, naturally aged for the ultimate in tenderness, juiciness, and flavor, all backed by their unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Again, get 50% off site-wide with all of your mouth-watering favorites, from tender, juicy steaks to delicious comfort meals, decadent desserts, and so much more. Plus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steak burgers with select packages, and every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com/bucknuts and shop the annual, semi-annual sale today. Get 50% off. That's good stuff right there. All right, Baximus, you and I going into spring ball, you convinced me. I was like, it's between right tackle, right guard, whether they're going to do the right side of the line, and who's going to be the other starting linebacker. Are they actually going to move Sonny Styles down to linebacker? They did that right away. So I end up agreeing with you even before then that you talked me into it, that the right side of the line was the biggest question going into spring. It's starting to iron itself out. Josh Freier had a hell of an offseason. Only 3 guys were iron Buckeye on the entire team. Now, a lot of guys had really good off seasons, but with Mick, so it's a high bar to be iron Buckeye, but Freier was one of those 3. Igbinosin and Sonny Styles were the other ones. It sounds like they're pretty confident as a second-year starter, Fryer's going to be good as a fifth-year senior. They seem pretty confident Luke Montgomery there at right guard, and they like that Tegra can be the backup right tackle, and then if he needs to come in there, then Freier could slide into right guard. Sounds like the right side of the offensive line, while they still need to prove themselves, it's 3 practices, 1 with pads, but so far so good.
I'm not jumping to any conclusions yet. Let's see how he does. Yeah. I know that they're very high on what they've gotten from Freier in the offseason here, and he deserves a ton of credit. If there's only 3 kids in the whole program who got to that standard, then that's awesome, and that's great for him. At the end of the day, I'm still not sold on – and it's not just the right side, all right? I still think Simmons has a little bit to prove as well. So until we see this line perform at a high level, I'm not sold that it's still not the biggest concern. Because even if Freier is solid, we're still breaking in a new right guard. We have a battle at the center position, which I thought it was very interesting that Ryan Day, sidebar, said, yeah, we have no snapping issues with Seth McLaughlin. We think their quarterback's cadence was goofy in Alabama. So that cracked me up. He's like, he's throwing the Alabama quarterback under the bus because he can't talk or something. But at the end of the day, you've got the left side of the line too, where Simmons was fine. He actually was decent in pass protection, but there's still questions about his sides. And then, let's face it, Donovan Jackson's a guy that came in as a really high-end guy. And I thought he was solid at best. He was not lights out. So nowhere on this line right now do I see anybody that looks like they're a high-end first-round or second-round draft pick kind of guy. And until we see them come together, I'm going to be concerned. Whereas I think everywhere else, at this point, we have extreme confidence what we're going to see. So it's still my biggest concern, though I am happy to hear about how high they are on Josh Freier.
Well, great stuff from Bax. Let's see. People are saying he was a turnstile. He struggled last year. He had his games where he was pretty good. He was up and down last year. I won't say he sucked. He definitely wasn't where he needed to be, but I feel he's a fifth-year senior. He might be what they need. We'll see what happens there. I wouldn't mind. I'm greedy. I wouldn't mind them getting a right tackle in the portal, but I'm greedy like that. Great stuff from Bax. Really appreciate it, Bax. You can catch his column every Sunday on Bucknuts. It is the award-winning Bucket. Thanks again to Matt Baxendale. Thanks to all of you. We appreciate it very much. Very large audience here in our live audience. Really appreciate that. Appreciate everybody tuning in wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again to Bax. Thanks to all of you. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Go Bucks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.